Well, good afternoon, everyone. I want to welcome you to the Los Alamos County Board of County Commissioners work session. Today is April 11, 2025. A couple of minutes early, but we're going to get this meeting going. So I'm going to call this meeting to order. I want to ask you to rise for an invocation that is very fitting today on this beautiful Friday, given by Commissioner Lucero.
Father, we thank you for the privilege of gathering here today. Thank you for the opportunity to work together and grow in unity. Bless this time and guide our efforts. Amen.
Amen. Please join me on the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Roll call, Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioner Cyril?
Here.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes, sir. And approval of the agenda. Do you have any changes to the agenda, sir?
No changes, Commissioner.
Thank you so much. I will entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
So move.
And I second that.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Cyril?
Yes.
For purposes of this meeting today, we want to have a conversation. It is a great honor for us here in Los Alamos County to have a representative from the office of Senator Hickenlooper and from the congressional office of Representative Hurt. So thank you so much, both. I can tell you we had an opportunity to travel to Washington, D.C., and I actually sat down with I didn't get a chance to visit with the senator. I was actually, we said hi in passing, but we did have an opportunity to catch up with the rest of the delegation to include Senator Bennett, Representative Boebert, you name it. I mean, we went from one office to the next. And so for that, CCI did an amazing, amazing lineup of schedules, but welcome. I want to welcome both of you, and this let it be a conversation as we go through the process. And I believe also we're going to be joined by Representative Hurt here in the next couple of weeks, I believe, or yes. Next Friday. Yes, it's a good. It's going to be a really good Friday.
Yes.
In fact, it's going to be a good Friday, right?
Right.
No pun intended there, but that's certainly.
Our recess is so limited. He said we've got to do.
Very good. And we appreciate that. So please give our best to the senator as well. And certainly I'm going to yield the floor to you all and let us have a conversation and see what's happening in DC, what's happening from your perspective, and what position are counties in when it comes to, are we calling it opportunities? I think we're going through a SWOT analysis, right? When you look at this whole thing, we're looking at what strengths do we have as counties and so on. But let me go ahead and at this time, welcome both of you, Antonio, Kathy. We've known each other for many, many years. So welcome, and the floor is yours.
So thank you for having us. Yeah, my name is Antonio. I'm with Senator Hickenlooper's office. So appreciate you guys, Bill, for putting this together and you both for hosting us. Of course, we don't have Tony, but for Commissioner Hospital, we love that vacant too. But ultimately, I think this is just the start of having these almost bi-annual meetings. I think an opportunity for the congressional staff to be able to listen to you and hear what the counties are going through. Government doesn't move too fast, so thinking maybe twice a year, but we can move that up to quarterly. We think that's probably
the way Washington is going, I think we need to meet every day.
Yeah, yeah. there's a ton going on, but I did, like, the biggest piece of, I think, legislation that had just come out today, the press release that I eventually sent your way, is the Western Senators, so Senator Hickenlooper, they introduced a landmark bipartisan wildfire mitigation bill, and we're calling it the Fix Our Forest Act, which is 12 months for short, and it'll help reduce wildfire risk for Colorado communities. Speed up mitigation projects while maintaining environmental safeguards and encouraging local involvement. So there's a lot of things that are going to be addressing these challenges, and it'll provide programs, a single interagency program to help communities and wildland urban interface areas. And there's also opportunity to boost reforestation with the inclusion of our bill, the Reforestation Nurseries and Genetic Resources, the RNGR Support Act, to support reforestation capacity of state, tribal, and private nurseries. So there's a lot of things in this bill, but I think it is pertinent to counties because wildfire impacts itself and fire doesn't know
sure.
County lines. So mutual aid agreements, opportunities like this. So that's the greater thing today.
Well, thank you for that. I want to, you know, we went to the Western Interstate region of also through the NACO, National Association of Counties. We meet once a month, and we had an opportunity to meet with Commissioner Dwayne McFall from Fremont County. He actually is the second vice president for the WIR region. And one of the things we met with the State Land Board yesterday morning, we had a very robust conversation with them, and the partnership that we need to have with managers, with the federal government, because federal lands, it's one of those things that we have plenty of. And as Commissioner McFall mentioned, and I may be close or off the number, but in Colorado, it's close to 50% on basically public lands. When you look at the whole perspective of all the millions of acres that we have, and we want the federal government to be good stewards of the land by partnering with counties. We have Las Animas County, of course. We have the west part of the county that has a lot of the beetle kill, that it is part of our federal lands that we have. And it is very, very important to us because that's where we have the watershed. That's where the community gets all their drinking water and so on. That was one of the big points. My question would be also, when we're looking at WUI, the Wild Urban Interface, the federal government has an idea of what that means to the federal government, but here in Colorado, we define it a whole different way. Because as we talk about the WUI, here in Colorado, there legislation coming down the out of the General Assembly tells us that we might have to be creating this WUI rules and regulations, if you will, by region. So meaning we, Las Animas County, could be part of other counties. And if we get part of the region is counties that are to the east of us, well, they may not have the mountainous challenges that we have on the west part of the county. But that conversation has been going on, and we have been at the conversation from the beginning and at the table, because what we don't want to do is to eliminate the, and by the way, Commissioner Lucero has served, he has, I will forever be grateful because he has the knowledge of having served as the planning person for the county for many years. But what happens is, talking about this challenges that we have, where does the state and the federal government intersect? We have state law, right? But then we also have federal law that gives a precursor to building, I guess, with common sense and giving the counties the authority. And let me not necessarily monopolize the conversation, but one of the questions that we had with the State Land Board yesterday, and I specifically asked this question, what happens when the State Land Board leases property to an operator? And the operator says, you know what, I'm going to put some, we're going to develop this into green energy, wind, solar, so on and so forth. What they told us is they lean on counties to use the rules and regulations of the county, which is where it should be, because that basically puts it right back as a local control. Now, for the message to Senator Hickenlooper from us is continue to be a voice for the fire mitigation. And that's going to be for the two of you. I had a conversation with the representative from Senator Bennett's office as well. And so that is what we want. That's what we need. And the complexity of counties, the private-public partnership to get dollars, it's so complex. That today, when we met with the Army, one of the questions that I had asked them, can you train the contractors that we have within the area how to apply for these grants, because it requires a lot of paperwork. And so them having that door open, it's incredible, because now it opens up two things: fire mitigation, but second is opportunities for locals to compete at a higher level, getting these grants to do fire mitigation, so on and so forth. So keep the message, Antonio. We really appreciate this thing about the WUI, and then, of course, Kathy. But at the end of the day, we have, the federal government manages so much private land in high mountains areas that, to a certain extent, is forgotten. I mean, it sits there, and it's just a fire hazard.
That's just not a fire hazard. And we're part of that bill, too. I think the congressman signed on to the Fix Our Forest Act as well, because that's very important.
And that bill pretty much already, can we, if we Google that as far as Fix Our Forest Act? Okay. Yeah, very good. We'll go ahead and do that. Yeah. Let me yield the floor to anyone here in the room. Commissioner Lucero?
No, I think it's important to remind you that we as a county want to keep local control here in a lot of these aspects, because we know what's best for our community. So, I mean, I hope that you keep that in mind, that it's important for us.
It's important, and one of the concerns we have is the state legislature taking away that local control.
Yeah, and I know we're dealing with that now, unfunded mandates that they're putting on just with this bill they just passed that the governor signed with a gun control. I mean, that's going to put a big burden on the sheriff's office. And I was reading something. I mean, they're going to get a little bit of money, but I think there's a fee. They have to charge it, but that fee goes back to the Colorado Wildlife. That fee goes back to them.
So, just to kind of your point, the sub-subject is the Pinkaboo Hooters Fix Our Forest Act will reduce wildfire risk for product communities, speed up mitigation projects while maintaining environmental safeguards and encouraging. So I think key is very much the point of local control. So I think the opportunity here is how do we streamline those opportunities for local control to take care of their forests, their
rivers. Yep. You know, and we appreciate this conversation for us, whether we do it, and thank you for traveling all the way to Trinidad. Certainly, we are, depending on how you look at it, the last county in Colorado, but we like to think we're the first when you're coming from the south, right? So, but the thing is that it's so important because, you know, this conversation that we're having is going to be posted on our website and people go and find information. If anyone out there has any questions, to reach out to the senator, to the representative, certainly I think the door is open. But more importantly, I was going to ask Mr. Dorenkamp if you had any points of what we gleaned yesterday at the meeting with the Public Lands Board as far as the intersection between what is the nexus between state and federal, because that was one of the points that we kept going back and forth with?
Not really off of the top of my head. One of those, as you touched upon just a bit ago, is the notion that local control when it comes to any type of mineral extraction or renewables or anything else that are placed upon state properties, state land board properties, is basically regulated by local control. But I think you threw in the caveat also, depending on what has happened at the state level, and not necessarily at the federal level, but if there's rules and regulations at the state level, they're going to supersede any type of local land use guides or anything else. But no, not when it comes to intermingling with the federal properties. I don't recall anything to,
you know, when we had at the last CCI conference, we met with BLM, and one of my questions to them was, how do you deal with the regulations when you have we were talking about on those at the conference, the exploration of oil and so on. And then, of course, one of the things that they clearly state for us is we follow state law. So the federal government operating in various states adhere to state law, which is what now creates that hurdle, if you will, for us to adhere to. So when we had an opportunity, I met with the, I attended a roundtable with the Department of the Interior for the federal government to work with states that have coal impacted communities. With states, Las Animas County, Trinidad being one of them, is to work with states because we have such a robust metallurgical deposit of coal sitting there. And the last operator told us that at whatever capacity they were extracting coal, that he said to us, I don't know what kind of engineering or scientific study, but he estimated 25 years of production. So for us, we have a huge treasure that is literally buried in there, but we are handcuffed at the state. And I don't know exactly how, and that's my question. How are the federal regulations from the EPA versus the mining regulations from the state to get that beautiful resource out of the ground? And we can actually be producing steel as we did in Pueblo for decades.
Senator Pichon has been with minerals for a while. We understand kind of those situations and being able to produce ourselves. So it's in the works. I know the administration has its own idea of how that's going to work, but I wonder if there's a bipartisan opportunity that will arise in the next couple of years, especially if we have local folks pushing.
I tell you what, I mean, we at the county level, of course, we are always going to be a voice, right? You give us the megaphone and we can, because we should, on behalf of our constituents.
You've definitely been one of the louder voices since I started, so I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. You know, the whole thing is that if we have, let's say, 15 years of coal, I mean, that's economic impact to communities. It's economic impact to the state of Colorado. And sometimes the regulations. And when I visited with the Department of the Interior representative there, I asked him, because he mentioned that apparently some of the Southeast Asian countries are producing this hydroelectric operations with coal and gas, and how they're burning coal. And of course, I don't know that, I don't know exactly what elements he has to have, but the technology is there to burn coal clean, in a clean fashion, where instead of creating the CO2 and putting it into the atmosphere, you capture that and you create other type of energy, right? It's incredible. Las Animas County also has one of the largest geothermal beds anywhere, geothermal energy all over the place. We need, and if the senator would like to lead or send a couple of investors our way that would be looking for, that is renewable, alternative, green, clean energy. I mean, geothermal, it's all over the place, but certainly great opportunities. We'll look at this.
And also to add to your conversation, your nuclear.
Yes.
I've always been a proponent of nuclear. I think it's something that, as you folks are well aware, and so those that you're representing are well aware, that with all the data that's being crunched via AI, there's a huge demand upon more power. We can construct solar panels and wind generators till the cows come home. And unless we have hundreds of thousands of acres of each, not going to generate the kind of power that AI is going to be needing to be successful. And then if I can also ask positions on tariffs, I realize that has been a hot point here the last how many days, 90 days, however long the current administration has been in place. And I guess that's a question I'd like to ask positions.
The Congressman with a couple of other congressmen by partisan bill has introduced legislation to take back establishing trade policy, take it back into Congress along with the tariffs. So hopefully that bill will pass. Don't know. We'll see.
My boss is very similar. And for your energy conversation, he was kind of the, one of the leaders in the IRA, which is Inflation Reduction Act, but it was the largest energy bill that's been passed ever. But he notes it as the Great Transition and sees this as a giant timeline of an opportunity to transition to the, whatever the next energy is. And no thing is on the table. So everything you kind of mentioned is has not been off the table for this energy.
And neither of the congressman. He's interested also in nuclear, different modes of power.
You know, and we're going to need the help because Representative Winter, Ty Winter from HD 47, the governor signed the bill where nuclear energy to be considered clean energy. So the bill is signed. I saw that, and so it is a great opportunity for us to do research. And I tell you one thing, we had a meeting with the college a couple of weeks ago, and one of our conversation was, how do we get students trained for this new type of energy, and is Las Animas County a candidate for that kind of energy? But that piece of legislation, it's already signed by the governor here in Colorado.
And if you were closer to Ash, Colorado, on the Ash 22, and I know that they were a big opponent of that bill.
Yes,
Bubble energy transition. Story, but what's the opportunity with Los Angeles?
I remember someone from Action 22 long time ago.
And then also natural gas and the power plants that can be run by natural gas. Those, I think, still need to be on the table too as we make transitions from fossil fuel type power sources to alternatives, because natural gas does burn clean. Well, clean coal, even though there's scrubbers now, as Commissioner alluded to, that help clean up the coal. And then also a Space Command, which seems like every administration, there's a flip as to whether or not it's going to Alabama or state of Colorado. I'm sure both of the representatives and senators are both proponents of keeping it in Colorado.
Actually, all the congressional delegation.
It's one of the very few issues that we can all agree on pretty regularly.
Yeah.
But that is, it has been a very, especially this year, the senators really led a lot of the conversations, especially in D.C., to have any breakfast with all the House members.
Right.
And all Republican House members actually just got a letter last week encouraging the administration to keep expanding.
Is there a time frame on that?
Oh, man, that's the magic question. Really, Chairman Rogers said that it was going to be day one, and here we are. Post 100 days. So I think we are in a good position to be fighting back. And Kathy's former boss and current boss is currently working on it. So it's both senators. But I did hear an April timeframe for more of an update from the administration. But right now, I think finding $2 billion when they're trying to cut for DOGE, there's not. That's just where they're at. So, So we're not in touch with total cost of moving it, but currently we're looking at a $2 billion price tag, and the repercussions of that will be felt across the Space Force because they're already low risk capability.
Yeah.
Moving something that is already at FOC will only really put us back, especially when we're so many.
Read where Medicaid is looking to be an insolvent by 2033 or 2036. What are the positions of both on how to make that solvent? I'll be blunt. It's important to me because I'm hoping to live at least 10 more years, so
yeah.
And I'll be real close.
You'll be a kid administrator until I'm here.
No. I'm going to get kicked out of Medicaid.
Well, Medicaid, the position that a congressman has on Medicaid is that He does not want to see it go away, especially for those people that need it. And that's a very, he's very concerned about that. Very concerned about it. Social Security is letting it go away. That's money we put in.
I hear those talking points, but I never see a plan. Okay, this is what we're going to do to make these.
They're still working on that.
Well, yeah.
They're making
no cap. Yeah, I know you can only say what you can say because you're not in Washington, but
they're making sausage.
Yeah. Especially on the other side of the aisle where it's more defense than anything else. Senators on the Health Committee, which is health education labor, which is dedicated to the number one topic, be able to. The solvent question hasn't necessarily come up. I think we can send information on that, but I think just protecting Medicaid for all Americans is a top priority.
It's a top priority. And, you know, I know in Washington, the Republicans and Democrats are like this.
Oh, yeah.
But down here on the ground, we need to work together because we have common interests of your county and the next county and so forth. So we try to work as hard as we could for.
So we appreciate these very tough questions. They're questions that everyone's asking, but it's everything's vague until it's not.
And
it's like,
but there's not an answer. They're talking. It's okay.
Yeah, right.
So what is the common position from both of your offices as far as, you know, Colorado have put in 2050 as the goal for achieving, and what is it?
Like
the 2050
net zero emissions, and so now the push from the General Assembly in Colorado is let's shave off 10 years, which takes 10 years of stakeholding, 10 years of planning, and 10 years of pressures to include local governments to meet that goal and deadline. Let me give an example of that. Buildings that are 50,000 or greater square feet have to be 100% LEED certified by, and then we have deadlines and times to meet. This is passing on expenditures to constituents. County governments operate exactly the way the federal government does. They get in my pocket, they get a penny here and a dollar here and $2, and that's how we operate this nation. At the end of the day, Coloradans are overburdened, overtaxed, and I won't get into Tabor yet, but then definitely there are so many other challenges. But this 10-year window is going to create some challenges for Colorado to meet net zero emissions by 2040 rather than 2050. So I don't know if, you know, I your boss specifically, having sat on that chair, it feels good not to be on the chair, right? But you know, but at the end of it is there has to be some kind of a what between the federal government and the state government.
Well, the federal government cannot get involved with the state government.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of the Constitution.
It is.
We have to do with Colorado and elect the right people and get that changed, Dr. Dory.
Well, it's
When I lobbied the state legislature years ago, I loved it when you had one House is Democrat, one House is Republican. It was much easier to get the better bills out.
And it's unfortunate that Senator Bennett's representative couldn't be here because I read where Senator Bennett's thrown his hat into the governor's ring. So he could also be taking some of these questions.
Well, I'm glad you said that because I was going to bring that up. And I eventually...
Yeah,
Commissioner Lopez brings it up to me, and I know this is a state issue, not a federal issue. But even
ask him because he may be a match at a problem.
And even the utility companies, the tri-states, the Excels are saying there's no way without passing along huge costs to the consumers to meet those goals. There's no way to do it. But anyway, that's a state level issue,
not right state. Again, my boss loves total control. And I think just generally, I can't really talk on his position.
Understood.
So that I can just really share information. But I think those goals are ambitious for the current administration. And when my boss talks about a transition, energy transition, calls it the great transition, and he doesn't put a timeline on it. He knows, I think, at least it does take time. The technologies need to be there. The approval processes need to be there. So he knows it's a great transition, but he hasn't really set when that timeline is. So can't really speak on it.
Sure.
What they're thinking
about. Sure. No, and that is fair. That's why the Federalist Papers were written. Those 85 essays that we have in there are the guiding principles for how states and the federal government should be. And then, of course, you know, you have the Constitution that governs the land, and then you have the state constitution that actually drives the state's policy and procedure. But on the issue, what are you hearing? We brought up to the state land board this 30 by 30 initiative that became pretty famous in the last few years. We talked about 30 by 30 and the conversation went on forever. What are you hearing from the senator and the representative as far as the continuance of acquiring property? And then, so, you know, to me, the definition, correct me if I'm interpreting it wrong, that by 2030, 30% of the United States land and oceanic waters would belong to the federal government, which in essence belongs to the citizens because it's paid for by taxpayers' dollars, right? But nonetheless, it's a ton of acquisition of property that there for a while, you know, private landowners were concerned. And to me, that's fine if you have a seller that is willing, as long as that person is going to be getting the cost of replacement and or fair market value, right? I mean, but that 30 by 30 topic was for a while pretty famous.
Yeah, I remember that being when it first started. So that was like 2021. I think it was us that actually had the conversation back then. I don't know where it's at now.
I don't know where it's at.
It hasn't come up until today.
Good.
Wow. So good. I can look at it and see who would be running that right now. It hasn't come across my desk.
Right.
But yeah.
Very good.
I've got one more. In the past, we've had our legislative roundtable towards the end of December, first of January, and it seemed like it was always with politicians, frankly, looking to get back into their legislative sessions. Mm-hmm. We kicked the idea of maybe having it in the summer.
I think that'd be an awesome opportunity. I mean, I enjoy roundtables. January was really tough because I think most people were off until like the 6th. It was usually like the 3rd or 4th. I remember that conversation, but a summer session would be interesting because at least when we pass the Colorado state sessions, we'd be able to kind of hear from Ty or the local legislators. And we also have that opportunity to kind of say, hey, we're getting through the first part of recess, our recess is all year. All right, sorry. Session is all year.
Get up.
They added
4 days, 4 working days for Congress,
and so our recesses are very short. Very short.
And yeah, so August recess is usually a good time
to get
your congressional. But
what time
did you say?
August. First
part of August.
That would be great. Let's that is, and thank you so much for bringing that up. We have had this conversation with the mayor, and it was the feedback that we receive on that is pretty good.
Yes.
And now we are actually summarizing what happened and what we're expecting on the next session. So that sounds good. And if you give us more, keep the communication.
If you can give us more definitive timeline, 1st of August, then we can try to work with the city itself to set up and also our local representative, senator.
It'd be great. We can do like that. We'll see. Yeah, and then again, we can do that are at the CR or budget.
The CR that was approved, I mean, we're going to go back to September anyway.
Right.
And there will be whatever is going to happen and what's going to happen on that particular budget. I think that puts the constituents nationwide on a very uneasy position when you have a CR, because having been a CFO pretty much all my life, I mean, you look at how do you plan? But one of the things that you can never plan is for market fluctuations, revenue fluctuations, which is really what I think may have driven the CR to begin to do some adjustments on zero-based budgeting, beginning from ground zero, which is, it's interesting process that we're watching. I mean, it's a different way of making sausage, but I think at the end of the day, we'll still see the same result. Let me, Kathy, on the early on, there was the San Isabel National. What was that? San Isabel National Historical, and that would have been probably both of you, the designation of close to 500,000 acres as a national park.
Dolores.
There's still a controversy.
Okay.
Down there. Yeah, because some of the folks down there want a national conservation area. Others want a national monument, which with a monument, you can't go hiking. You can't do all the stuff that people want to do with recreation. With a conservation area, you can, but it's still up in the air.
Okay.
I don't know what the status is. Do you know?
I don't. I do. That was a lot. That was a year ago.
Yeah, a couple of years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that being a very interesting topic across the state. My colleague was better because it's on the West Slope. But I do remember, like, my boss, River Bennett, they like took a flight. They got to see a lot of those sites. So they're trying to figure out how to protect that. But again, there's negotiation about those sites.
And again, you know, for us at the county level is respecting property rights, private property rights. And the comment that I heard way back then, it was that could be acquired through eminent domain, which that's what I think rose to the level of the animosity. But I hadn't heard. So if you can keep us updated, that would be one of those things that gets private landowners uneasy with the federal government coming around. It's like, oh, we like this piece of property. Maybe we can, but...
you could do that with a national monument, right? National monument. The president can designate national monuments.
Yeah. And again, and to me, that makes a lot of sense. But you need thousands and thousands of acres. And then, of course, the other portion that we came, that apparently there were some rare minerals on that property. So, a long story, but we don't. I don't know that the full story of the that Dolores land grab.
I'll send you our last press release on it, but it's been a while since.
Yeah, I don't know the statuses, but I'll check.
Yeah,
they are working well in the San Luis Valley. There are discussions about setting up a national conservation area. People think it's going to be a national monument area, but it's not. There's still another controversy going down in San Luis Valley, especially Conejos and Costilla County.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a quick question. Now that the waters of the U.S. has been thrown off the table from the federal side, how are you going to handle the law from the governments, Colorado, because they haven't gotten rid of
it? Again, I think you gave us the answer early on, is we need to get this bipartisan, because WOTUS automatically made a claim that as long as that water touches a tributary, now it belongs to this property of somebody else. So it's going to be a very hard lobbying effort on behalf of all Coloradans, but this is going to be something that is going to be, and you know, that conversation we need to have with both our state elected officers, because they cover a good chunk of the part of the eastern part of the state. And then when you look at rural, that's only where it makes sense. But when you look at the urban and suburban separation, so Kathy, I think there's going to be a lot of education and lobbying. Mm-hmm. Commissioner or Mr. Dornkamp?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head. Thank you.
Yeah, that also became that was and we have Commissioner Tony Hazard actually sits on the Waters Board, and so he keeps us he goes to all of the meetings, and you know, from that perspective, it's concerning to the point that, you know, water tends to flow the way water flows, right? And it's going to find a tributary somehow. And if you want to go back, you can trace it back to and then claim it. If you can name it, you can claim it. Well, that's just not the way Coloradans or anybody is used to doing business.
Well, apparently it's up to the person who's going to use those waters to prove whether or not it's alluvial or not alluvial. And then CDPHE is getting involved in it, I guess. Clean Water Act, I mean, it's, I don't have to tell you folks, it seems like it's a lot of regulatory agencies watching. And,
I know a lot of communities themselves that would happen to get by the CDPHE and the wastewater treatments and so forth.
Well, I'm going to put a kind of a, I'm coming from the left field on this one, but if you put it on your radar, when I was at Trinidad State, one of the things that we attempted to do at that time was to increase Pell Grant benefits for some of the non-credit classes, meaning if you were going to be taking, CDL driving, and once you pass the certification, a lot of those programs did not have the vocational technical certification to be financial aid or Pell Grant eligible. So from that perspective, back in those days, a couple of senators at that time, we had a meeting from the Colorado Commission of Higher Education asking them to consider non-credit bearing courses with a certification at the end of it. So we're not asking to give any money, but if we have, for instance, being a mining, a coal mining and gas communities, some of these individuals that get laid off from there need to go and do some retraining. If they take welding, 3 credit hours, Pell Grant eligible. If they take any other vocational program, but we used to have weekend programs that people learn how to lay carpet. Well, how do you put a credit hour on that? And for some of them, they didn't have the financial capacity to go get retrained. And I'm just using the carpet laying as one of those examples that could have been. But I think that conversation is way past, because this probably dates me back 20 years when we had those conversations back then. And Pell Grants are so imperative for people that are displaced from the economic formula, and they don't want to go get an associate of arts and whatever the case might be. They don't want to enroll in the English 121. They want to go get trained on plumbing. I want to learn how to be a plumber so I can get into an apprenticeship. I want to get into a little bit of electrical to do that. Put that on the radar. Maybe this is not the time to be talking about Pell Grants at the higher education level. In fact,
it's definitely a tough time. Yeah, it is tough. Federal dollars in education. But I think there is another like workforce act that I think we can share with you. It's the EOLA.
We have that here in Los Angeles. Yeah.
And my boss loves it. And it's very much what you're talking about. It's like, how do you grow those type of programs to be able to fund
that? Well, that's, you know what? Now that, we are. We used to work with it. Yes.
So that's definitely another opportunity. So many things that we can look at here. And
because we do have shortages, electricians and plumbers and vocational
Yeah. Well, and it's accountability, transparency, and there is also certification at the end of it, and it's putting people back to work once they are displaced. But anyway.
Well, it looks, yeah, we're coming up on time, but on that, I do want to know both your priorities, just kind of work, keeping in the back of our minds as things come up in DC or things we see things at the state or, you know, opportunity to collaborate, I know what you're working on. And then it's like, hey, this is GOI, this is for forest or economic development or forest. And as we know, we need to make sure we can tap through that. So if you have like two of your priorities,
sure.
That are back of our mind. Yeah,
sure, and we appreciate, Kathy, the request to put out some local priorities. I believe Mr. Doran can make
congressional direct.
Yeah,
directives.
The House now approved us doing CDS, cut congressional direct spending. So now we can go with that as well. So I'll send you more information.
Good.
As soon as I get reported to Washington. So you can apply separate from the transportation list. Okay, so CDS.
Yes.
Okay, the board's going to be considering the transportation part of it, basically doing some work out at the airport. And if the board approves that letter, I'll get it sent to you Tuesday afternoon or Wednesday. That's before, yeah, because it needs to be to you before the 21st, I believe, correct?
The 21st, right. So you have plenty of time on that.
I think it was one or two
miles.
County, did you
submit
one to us?
We've every year we've submitted.
Yeah. So should I do send that home still to your to their office as well? Because sometimes when it's on both House and Senate bills, there's a better opportunity for it to get
good.
Or at least
they talk to each other sometimes.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. And look at priorities.
You know, so we want you want it sent to you or to Senator.
To make sure you send it.
To both. Yeah, we're going to send it to her because he's the one to request it, but we'll send it to you and
right, and we'll send it to Senator Bennett as well. All three of
them.
The you know, one thing that in Colorado we have this off-road bridge program that receives very small amount of money, and when you look at all the counties, you're looking at 64 counties that have, we have county roads, basically too many to mention, that have existing bridges that, I don't know, right now we have a list of at least 20 that could use some replacement and funding. Transportation is big to us because we're adjacent to I-25. In the event of a closure, a driver, even someone that is hauling a heavy load may take off of I-25 and go on our county roads, which often happens on the east part of our county coming from Kansas, La Junta, and those places. They take a shortcut to get back onto the interstate. Some of those bridges may not be full capacity and weight and width and so on. So that's one of the, to me, that is a priority. We put a list a couple of years ago, and it was about 20 projects that Los Angeles County alone would probably be able to use some funding outside of the state, direct funding through the federal government to improve these roads. And it's all for the safety of our constituents.
I've driven those back roads. If that animal safer is out, yeah, there it was. Who knows where it was? But
yeah,
yeah.
The phones don't work.
Yeah, there was no phone service. I was like, I'm just going to keep going one way and I know I'll hit something.
Just the sun is on that side. That's right.
Yeah.
And the other one, just FYI, and please extrapolate on it. We are in the last leg of doing a feasibility study at the airport in hopes to create an industrial park.
And on the airport, before we bond, Phil's already got it, but I reached out to Colorado Springs and Pueblo Airports, but on the Senate Commerce Committee, Chairman Cruz, their staff is trying to pull together proposals on how to improve air traffic control, so ATC systems nationwide. And specifically, the committee is exploring possible legislation to address deficiencies related to ATC staffing, facilities, and technologies, and the FAA's management tools of air traffic organization. So, as you mentioned today, flight cops are going to start flying in more, you know, opportunities. opportunity for your airport, do you have foundational needs necessary? If you have those comments, we would love to get those for April 18th.
And for our discussion at the city, we don't have air traffic control out there. And I reached out to Evan, our FBO operator, and he basically said the same thing, that at this time, we can really not take advantage of anything that pertains to air traffic control, because we don't have any, and we don't even have some of the instrumentation that I think would help us out there at this time. So, but I will respond.
Say that there is no technology that our airport that we're trying to grow is for technology.
Yeah, there's an opportunity there. I can see that with, what is it, 2027 coming for, you know, to build that airport, to help.
Well, and I have no shame, as you are both aware of, that I'll keep plugging for that airport, keep plugging for that fuel.
Absolutely,
And the last, for me, one of the last, the opportunity to continue to be part of this table. You know, I mean, that's, we know we're there, but certainly we haven't seen in past, you know, we have, but not at the level that we see now, the open communication, and that is greatly, greatly appreciated. And then we know we're going to be, the only time we're going to be having an opportunity to get something is by asking and staying engaged. But Commissioner, anything else?
I have nothing else. I appreciate you all coming down.
Anytime, just tell us. Come on down.
I'm kind of the new guy on the block here, so some stuff is new. Sometimes some stuff is. I read a lot, in the news, so at least I can ask you questions instead of my wife.
I would say you can text us too, whatever you need.
If you ever need to come down or if you have a question, just call.
You guys are really great at Southern Colorado. I'm from Powers, so I very much appreciate the work you're all doing here, because it's
You're a GHS, right?
I am GHS, yeah.
Really?
So
Bobcats.
You make a Bobcats.
Yeah. He's your compadre. I think
played sports with a couple of your games. Yeah, out there. So
many years. Mine's many years.
We will say how. Okay.
But yeah, it's way communication.
You know, and also the opportunity to continue to understand who Los Angeles County is. We are rural. We're frontier. We are unique. And yet, so we have so many raw materials that could be developed here. At the state land board meeting yesterday, one of the board members, one of the commissioners, was asking me, "What do you recommend me to do today?" So when I told her, she brought a bike. Where can I ride it? Then I explained to her the gravel grinding roads that we have. We have bike races here that attract people from all over the world. You guys had to come down on that weekend. We'll keep them posted. Come and enjoy people from France, Brazil, riding 100 miles. And these are very well organized.
Professional
athletes that actually go on. And these are on our county roads.
Wow.
There is a very well organized, yes. The last time, I believe, over 1,000 participants. I don't want to exaggerate on the number, but a lot of them. So they come and spend a weekend here in Los Angeles County, economic development for our community. But what's more important than that is the exposure to our community, to our county, because the park that we have, we need to capitalize on it, attract individuals to come and spend a weekend in Trinidad. They pay a little bit of a sales tax, and we enjoy that as well. But you get to know individuals. And we're going to have a meeting. I don't know exactly the date.
There's actually a smaller one than the one you're thinking of, the 19th.
Of this month?
Pony Express.
Oh, in May?
No, now in April. a couple of weekends.
We're having a combination
meeting. Yeah, the other one is the.
With the city?
Yeah.
The Red Fest. Yeah.
That's what
he was
okay. I would love to go see that.
But this other one,
we'll keep you posted. We'll send you an invite. And one of the things that I personally have a family member that rides the 40, 50 mile.
Wow.
So bring your bike, Antonio.
Yeah. And, I already
can
make it on the block.
Yeah. It's a.
That's why the gravel road, no way.
You won't make it.
But, now, anything else for us?
Anything else?
No, just keep in touch, and if there's any questions we need to answer, give us a call.
Well done. Well done.
Just repeat myself. Please give us a time frame, August.
I got you out here.
Yeah.
We will.
Okay.
Well, have a fantastic weekend, and if we don't speak to you next week, have a blessed Easter week. Yes.
And we'll see you next Friday.
Yes, we'll be here. Having no other items on this agenda, Commissioner, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn. Adjourn.
I second the motion.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Lucero?
Yes.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you. Have a great week.